Okay, good evening, everybody. And we ended last week about the neshama. Tremendous chiddush, tremendous novel thought that we were talking about zachar v'nekeva, male and female coupling, zugois, that the whole world is giving and taking malchus, becoming the people we are in Shabbos. Is an example that ultimately it's a taker, even though it gives us so much, but it's taking from the Shechina itself, some level. We said that the place that you are, that's the definition. So Shabbos is the Kala, it's the bride, and not the Zachar, because its essence is the receiving end, even though it gives us so much, it's still a direct connection to the Shechina. We end off with the Neshama. Really, the Neshama gives us everything. The essence of who we are is not our body, it's our soul. Right? Who we are as people, our greatest essence is our Neshama, our soul. And yet, since every second of life and everything that our neshama is in us is only because it's connected above, and as we said, we said even in the pasuk that we can't like even store. We can't store the life. I'm sure the pasuk he said what he said. But Chaim, so in the Mekor Chaim he said a pasuk. Let's find it real quick. I'm not saying it. It's got a Chaim Nesun Biadecha. That's where it's somewhere here. But it's a Chaim Nesun Biadecha. I don't see it right off the cuff. That every second that we have life is always from Hashem. So even though we're so crafted from our neshama, ultimately speaking, the neshama every second is getting sustenance from above. A reminder to us, ourselves as well, is that our neshama goes all the way up. It's way beyond our guf, the chayechi, that goes all the way up to the heavenly throne, so to speak. And that's how we really ended last week. So I want to pick up on this note, this idea of the zachar, the male being the giver, the female being the receiver. And as I said, that all of us have different aspects of our life. We're givers and takers. But Shabbos is called Kala. And on that note, Amram Be'in Shabbos Yesh Toisefes Amok. There's another deep thought that's connected. Lama Nikras Nekeva. Why is Shabbos called the Nekeva, the receiver, Malchus? Machmas Kabos Yichash, and I always say that Shabbos, the Kedusha, the holiness, the bracha, the blessing of Shabbos, all comes, quote, is connected to the oneness of God. Velo Nikras Zachar, and we don't call Shabbos a male. Shabbos is not the groom, it's the bride. Why isn't it the bride, the groom, the Zachar, so to speak, for giving the bracha to the whole world? We've been speaking about many, many months that the Makor bracha, the source of all bracha, is Shabbos Lane, is Shabbos itself. We said that everything has a certain aspect of giving and a certain aspect of taking. While it's giving, when you're giving, you are the giver, and when you're taking, you are the taker. We said, right, someone can be supported, and they can be supporting other people. So who when they're supporting other people, they are the giver, and when they're being supported, they are the taker. L'mashal, for example, ha'asher, a wealthy person, who gives a pauper, a poor person, tzedakah, gives him charity. The big giver views themselves typically as the giver and not the taker. The truth is, the person who's in the giving end in the giving end is only because Hashem allowed them, empowered them, put them in, gave them the head to go to be successful in school or work, and made sure they didn't get ripped off. I just heard a terrible story today, I won't say this on live, but this is somebody who got completely ripped off, and essentially lost all their money, and you get everything going for you. You can get sued, you can get ripped off, you can make a bad investment. Hashem gives a person, all that we have is from Shemayim. Shemarega, second, sweet. This wealthy, this super wealthy person is only ultimately is also giving everything they're getting from Shemaim. Lam im ken, gavalibo, a person who's wealthy, there's a certain amount of they feeling they're the giver. People knock on their door all the time. You know, can you give me, can you be doing, listen, I have part of what I get to do when I was a rabbi in San Jose, and when I, you know, and here as well, certainly, it's a much bigger, much bigger budget, is you ask people for money. And I'm very happy to ask. I have, Baruch Hashem, I was just thinking about the Erev the other day. I was telling someone about the Erev in San Jose. That was a $500,000 Erev. I was talking about the years trying to convince Caltrans in particular to do it, finding the route. But when that era was done, I had no problem asking people for money for that era. And Baruch Hashem, it's still there today, and anyone who's invested in it is, gets Shmir Shabbos for all every single Jew, whether they're cognizant, whether they're aware about the era or not. They're a beneficiary of the era, and it allows people to get to shul and allows people to enjoy Shabbos more. I had no problem asking people for the era. But guess what? And now I'm not going to pick the era because there were relatively few givers. But in theory, the people I go to, they think they're the giver. They're being, I'm the asker, me the rabbi, who, you know, didn't even use the Arab, by the way, for the record. I was having with my wife and kids, but I don't use the Arab spleen either, and with my wife's permission. So I'm the asker, they're the giver. They feel like, oh, you know, I can tell you sometimes, you walk into someone's office, they think they're momish, you know. You first of all have to get certain people to even get into the office. You know how hard that is? Mamish takes, they don't make it easy. They make it really, and the ones that really, it's like you go there, I'll give you a minute or two, tell me what you like from me. You know, they're doing the ultimate, they are the biggest giver in the world. They're doing the biggest favor in the world. The reason why they, these people, says Reb Pinkus, and by the way, there's even in Yiddishkeit, in Judaism, is certainly a concept of honoring those who have money, because Hashem gave them money, and they can do great things with it. Just like, by the way, a person who's brilliant can do great things with their brains, right? And a person who's a great orator can do great things with it, or if you're musically inclined, can do, you know, can inspire people through music. It's a gift. When a person has the money, they see their bank account, they see their stocks, they see their value, and they think it's theirs. And they forget that everything they have is only from Shemayim. At this moment, right now, they already got the money's in their bank. They open their Chase account or their Wells Fargo, and they see $7.8 million. So right now they don't feel like they're getting anything. All they see is $7.8 million in their bank account and their stock options, whatever, or their stocks. And they feel, wow, look what I did. Because I'm not making them anymore. It's in my bank. You know, it's in my stock account. It's in my, you know, my stock account. It's my money. And when they got the money, they were working for Cisco, they were working for Facebook, they were working for Apple, I'm picking, who no one works for, I can pick what you guys work for, yeah, they're working for whatever. I don't see, you don't feel Hashem rates, you have to think a little bit deeper, you have to look a little bit deeper. They don't, it's not like that, it's like mud falling into their bank account, it doesn't like, it's not wired from Shemayim, it is wired from Shemayim, but they don't see the wire, they see the wire coming, the e-checks, the automatic payments coming from whatever company they're working for. It doesn't say, given to you by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, signed Hashem, right? It's signed some bozo, you know, or some automatic machine. They don't, it's harder for them to understand where the money is coming from. El Mer Shemayim Yardua Oro Shachasti Hashem. The way it, of course, happens is that there's a Hashpa from Shemayim, and that will translate for certain people for gold and silver, or stock, or a house in San Jose, which is a lot of stock, gold and silver, plus, right? But really, it's keich v'atzimadi. It's a mamish keich v'atzimadi. As a house, I still, by the way, just for experience, because I was able to get a house in San Jose, I'll never forget this. I bought the house. I was like a niece. I got a house. It's like in Chicago, you buy a house. Okay, you buy a house. In San Jose, to see the house market is always going up. I remember I bought my house on 1496 Norman Avenue, and both the appraiser and the inspector asked me, what did I buy it for? They're like, wow, God must love you. Both of them independently said that to me. God must love you. I'm like, of course God loves me. What do you think? You got a house like God? But they actually told me the truth. Everyone owns a house. Everyone has a job. Right? Anyone, call, comes from Hashem. And if you think it's you, you're missing the boat. Right? You're born to a certain family with certain skills. And there's certain ideas that come to your head. Money. It's a much line. You can. There are brilliant people who never get a job, don't get a break. The boss doesn't like them. The boss liked them, and then he left. And there's a new boss, and you have to leave your job. Whatever it may be, you could have health issues, emotional issues. People can't work. There's a million reasons a person can't make money. A person has money, Hashem gives them the money. But the fact is, right now, a person sees $7.8 million in the bank. He doesn't see that Hashem signed it, and it's in his bank, and they feel themselves instead of the giver. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The ani gives the person in Shemayim. When the person supports the poor person, Hashem saying, you deserve some of that money because you're giving it. And you have the schus of helping a person for eternity. That money won't take you for eternity. If you buy an extra house in Santa Cruz, that's not going to give you eternity. If you put the money in the stock market and come and go, it's not going to give you eternity. You give stock to a poor person, and if you give to yeshiva, and the yeshiva teaches students, that goes on and on and on and on and on and on till the end of time. And if you build an Erev, every single Shabbos, you're the giver. You're getting schosim every single Shabbos. Do you understand that? Whenever I ask a person, I don't feel bad. I don't feel like I'm asking anything. I'm giving them. Now, it's a nice line to say. I do, quite frankly, appreciate a person could give and not can give. So they're tzaddikim for giving. If they're giving to a cause that you believe in and they're helping, so you have a karas hatov. But when you ask for good causes, I told someone recently, when you give to your children, they're going to give you oil mabah. Right? They're your legacy. You think you're the giver? You're the getter. Of course you're giving, but you're also getting. You're getting a tremendous amount. By the way, I'm well learning shalom bias, marital harmony, but that's 101. You give to your spouse, you are the biggest getter. You get the most out of it. You're a recipient. And if all you think is you're giving, then first of all, you burn out. That's what it is. And I guarantee you're not going to give nearly as much as you could because you're on constantly giving. When you realize in marriage, it's not, you don't focus on the getting, but you understand that in marriage it's symbiotic. It's you're giving, you're the receiver as well. But so that's in general. People you could view it as giving when you're really getting. You can think you're giving to others and you're really the biggest beneficiary. Alayitzah Shabbos, but Shabbos, es ha-Kabbalah, the es ha-Nesina, the giving and getting, yachad, beder tzazaman, both together, ma'achdim v'basachas, they're intertwined at one time. Shema shevet kabbalas melamailo, that what comes from Shema, remember, there's Shabbos, which gives us all the blessing, and all the source. I just want to reiterate, when did I have this conversation? Boom, boom, boom. Just like recently. Oh, yes. On Monday, I had lunch with a big person in Kirov, in Chicago, and we were discussing, I certainly try to outreach to as many Jews as I possibly can, or our brothers and sisters. And he was just lamenting that he was just at an event, which were for lots of very proud pro-Israel Jews, and so many of their children and descendants are intermarried. And we're just talking, it's not enough. Even that, which is very admirable and the way every Jew should be, right? Being proud of themselves, being caring about 7 million Jews in Israel, whatever your political views are, right? Care about 7 million Jews in Israel. But if you're not keeping Shabbos, if you're not connected to Torah, it doesn't last. Right? And Shabbos is that source of bracha. We are the biggest beneficiaries from Shabbos on a spiritual level, on an emotional level, on bracha in this world, our blessing, ultimate bracha, yinachas in this world, all comes from Shabbos. Source of all bracha. And yet, at the same time, Shabbos is constantly getting the yichud from Shemayim. It's Hashem that gives Shabbos the bracha. Shabbos is the biggest recipient, and that's why Shabbos is a kala, is a bride. But it comes together. And ze atzma k'shpirasa mashpia lamata nimsa, that while it's giving, it's getting together. It's not like the $7.8 million in Wells Fargo, right, which Hashem gave you, and then you're giving, and then you're like getting. But you don't see it at one time. There's different steps over there. It's not, you know, it's not being wired in and out the same second. It's you're getting it, and then you think it's yours. And you don't, and by the way, when you make the money, it's going through a channel which you can fool yourself that you imagine you accomplish without Hashem. And therefore, Shabbos is totally different. Shabbos is the giving and getting is exactly the same moment. The Navi Shuv, he's going to go back to a mushal, back to a metaphor, which we said several weeks ago, about someone who paints a beautiful painting versus of a person, and you look at that painting, versus someone who looks at a mirror. Darchat Su'ah, which is stereo. L'shneim yesh shtei habechinas. Both of these, there's the give and the get, so to speak. Bechinas mashpia, bechinas mekabel. Hatzmuna, you imagine a great portrait, right? Whoever painted here, Picasso, Michelangelo, take your favorite, whoever your favorite painter is. There's a real life impression of a person. And basically, when you see that picture, there's nothing in the Mona Lisa, right? Van Gogh, right? It's a picture, it looks so real. It looks exactly like the person of so-and-so. And the same thing when you look in a mirror. You look in the mirror, it looks like so-and-so, okay? But there's a fundamental difference between looking at a picture, or even from the best artist, and looking at a mirror. Two-fold difference. Chada, firstly. Shatzmuna, a picture, shekibol tzurasa, matzaya, the picture gets its form from the painter. Zaya ba'over, it happened already. It happened previously. He painted. When you're looking at a picture, just it happened maybe 5 minutes ago, or 5 months ago, or 5 years ago, or 500 years ago. That the pictures happened. Someone painted a picture of somebody, but at right now it's not getting anything. The whole kula mashpia tzuras lechotz, just giving out the picture to whoever sees it, whether it's in a museum or a home or in a building. Mashein ken amara, which is not the case by a mirror. Kol ma she timuz ha'ol mulas v'stav toichol rak. The reason you see the picture in the mirror is only as long as the person standing there in front of it and giving himself, looking at himself, but you can see him in the mirror. And the second the person, we said this previously, walks away, the picture disappears. That's firstly. Vat sheinis, and number two, kolachat siar, the picture that you see in on the painting, it's based on the talents, the imagination, the inspiration of the painter. Then she yitzras a tmula mesafanei, that painter who paints the painting of the person who looks in front of it, he sees. Avamisha roya es a tmuna, if you see the picture, right, you walk in the museum, you have no idea who the painter is very often. Beautiful picture, looks very a real impression, but you don't even know the painter. Nimshe tzuras kabalaso shehatzmuna, the tzuras ha nisinaso elim tzurachas. You can't see the person who took the picture. I'm actually looking behind me in the zoom. You can see Rav Dessler and Rav Chaim Kanievsky. And my Rebbe Shmuel Kamenetsky, and his father, Yankov Kamenetsky, behind there, Marisha Shiva, Reb Zalig Epstein, right? Someone took the picture. I have no idea, by the way, who took most of these pictures. Actually, it's the one with me and Reb Zalig Epstein and Marisha Shmuel Kamenetsky, too, know. But I can't see them in front of me. So you see a picture. That picture of Dessler had to be at least 70-plus years ago. Picture of Yankov Kamenetsky was at least 40-plus years ago. I know the picture of Zalig Epstein, that's my wedding. That was 24 plus years ago. So that happened already. The painting was there already, right? Shmuel Kamenetsky was in a sukkah. Oh no, that was in his house. Different time. It's a picture of Shmuel. Boy, these things happened previously. And it's not there. When you look at a mirror, All right, what the mirror is, it's going at the exact same time, right? It's you're there, it's giving and getting at the same time. And therefore, it's true that a picture or a portrait, which I just mentioned, that's done, you can call it either a zachar and a cave. The cave, you can forget about the painter or that. You just see something, but a mara is constant and it's immediate. Or even a yareach, the moon, where the only light you see of the moon is coming up from reflection of the sun. Right, you can see it every second. It's really nothing. Okay, and that's exactly what Shabbos is. Shabbos is a kala b'miyuchad. She called davar ba'olam afilo mitzvah Torah. It's very interesting. Everything in the world, even the mitzvahs, all the mitzvahs of the Torah, except for Torah, which we've been comparing very often Torah as this mirror-like experience in Shabbos. The study of Torah and the keeping of Shabbos both have that uniqueness. That's like an asfiklar yamira. It's like a pure vision, which in the world of prophecy only Moshe Rabbeinu, only Moses had, and in the world of kedusha and reflection of connection to Hashem, only Shabbos and the study of Torah have. And all other mitzvahs, after it gets it receives its spiritual kedusha, its holiness from the heavens, it sort of has a little bit of its own flavor, right? Because it's like the money in the bank to some extent that God gives you and then it goes out. For even the holidays, even the Yom Tovim, sometimes like Pesach, it's this time of chiras, of freedom. Some like Sukkot to focus on simcha or happiness, but Shabbos has no reality of itself. There's no painting, there's no portrait there. It's not like Hashem gave something which is a reality permanently. It's Shabbos is constantly only from the Yichud of Hashem. V'nims on the one side of Hashem v'nims shikol mashi mashpio. Shabbos, all of the kedusha of Shabbos is because it's constantly getting that oneness, so to speak, and the kedusha of Hashem, and it has no reality. It's like that mirror. You walk away, it's not there anymore. There's no bank account. It's like the neshama. Every single second, it has to be there. Manifla, how wonderful it is when we talk about the kfeilis, the coupling, which we discussed, the duality, the doubling on Shabbos. So, kol davar ba'olam, everything else in this world, kaven shurayim ba'asakayach ha'nais and b'rifal, because there you see the giver as one step and the receiver as another step. Nimsash in kankfil, it's not really a perfect coupling. In Achanami, there's two, there's a male and female reality, right? You received the money and you're giving it, and there's male and female, there's giving and taking. But it's not a oneness, a togetherness. But the Mashal Shahamare, when you're in front of a mirror, it goes immediately back and forth. And you see the giver and taker constantly. The Mara, you can see the person who's standing against it. That's exactly what Shabbos is. We see Shabbos at the same time you're supposed to see Hashem, the oneness of Hashem. At that moment, all of the Kedusha from Shabbos, all of it, it's from the oneness of Hashem. We speak to the groom and the bride as one. That Shabbos is train rayin delo misparshet. It's the giving and taking constantly with no break. It's money being wired. This crude metaphor. Money being wired into your account and going straight to the poor person. There's no pause. Right. The kedusha comes into Shabbos and goes to those keeping the Shabbos. V'zemash amru chazal begal kfeila zu in kotzuras korbrasem mitzvaseh v'nashu kfulam. That's why everything in Shabbos is doubled, which we delineated last week, discussed last week, elaborated upon. Limos al hadvekes hamiuchodes. A person keeps Shabbos, they're literally clinging to Hashem. It's not just the Shabbos, which gets all of its kedusha from Hashem, it's malchus, which we discussed many months ago. And it's lechen kol inanea, therefore Shabbos is the ultimate male-female the ultimate true coupling. The Inyan, and the where do you see this concept of Shabbos being the ultimate mirror, the ultimate coupling? It's that we on Shabbos we say Zachar v'Shamar, right? The in the Seres HaDibros, it's the one word that changes in the first version versus the second version is on one, and we learn out all this the mitzvahs of Shabbos from this. It's one is Zachar, if you remember the Shabbos, the positive mitzvahs, positive commandments, right? And one is Shamar, to heed all the negative, what not to transgress on Shabbos. The Amru Chazal, we know the very famous Gemara, very, very famous Gemara. Talmud says that what was right, was it Zachar or Shamar? What did God say at Har Sinai, at Sinai? What did he say? He says, Zachar and Shamar was not, B'dibur Echanam, it was said at one time. They were said simultaneously. Now, you and I, no human being can say this. Two words at once, but God's omnipotent and all powerful. V'yinelo amru zachar v'shabbos b'bas achas shalzelo yamru mashin apayach l'adavin oizim yachal shama shas achas shaper efshle shmo harbikos el b'dibur achad. It means, it's not like you're hearing two things, right? Moshe and Baruch, Miriam and Rachel talking to you at once, you're trying to hear two people talk to it at once. That's possible, by the way. But to say, it's not that they heard two things at once. To say two things at once is impossible, right? You can't say two different words at the same second. V'doma, by the way, there's another example of this. He says, it's the Chazal say, it says, Erevus Eishas Achichlo Segal, a person can never marry a person's brother's, or you can never marry your brother's wife. A man cannot marry his brother's wife. But and it says that at one time, and Yivama Yavala, but it's in the midst of Yibum, of levirate marriage, of marrying, if a brother dies with no children, marrying is, we just learned Miklos Rus, just, you know, that concept comes up. That was said at one time. Why was it said at one time? The forbidden incest of marrying a brother's wife or doing levirate marriage, Yibum. The reason is at some of them they clash. Right? Actually, I'm learning with my 10-year-old son now daily Yevamos. He's learning Mishnayos Yevamos. There's so many halachas of Yevamos, arguably the hardest Masechta and Gemara in Shas. Even the Mishnayos are pretty intense, especially for a 10-year-old kid. So when you learn about Yevamos, we know that marrying your brother's wife is a serious isser, okay, on one hand, and it's a mitzvah if he had no children on the other hand, and therefore the Torah said it at once to have exactly this lesson. It is totally forbidden, but at the same time there is a carve out if he has no children. It's actually a tremendous mitzvah to do as well. And going back to our concept of Shabbos, and Nifla HaMashal Shalamar, we talk about the Mara, the mirror, the reflects, which is a constant giving and taking, which is constant as long as you're there, as long as it's for that moment, you can see the giver and the taker as well. We see the Nais, the Marva Adam Shikanei, though, we see the mirror and the person next to it. Tisho Mashu Mazet, where you can ask, what is this? It's a Mara. And you say, what is it? You say, oh no, it's the person, it's Reuven. Reuven's in front of the mirror. Is it a mirror? Is it Reuven? What are you seeing? When you look at it, are you looking at a mirror or are you looking at Reuven? Right? Reuven's in front of the mirror. So what exactly are you seeing? And the truth is you're seeing both. When you look at the mirror, you're seeing the mirror and you're seeing the person standing in front. That's what it means, Zachar v'Shamor, to heed the Shabbos and to remember the Shabbos, positive and negative, were said at the same time. Shamor is, Zachar is to remember the holiness of Shabbos that's revealed, and Shamor is not to do the negative prohibitions. V'nimsa im tisho, what did you hear? What did you, when you were, a person's at Sinai, at the holiest moment in the history of mankind, and they're at the Ten Commandments being given, and God says, keeping the Shabbos, right? We've been talking about Shabbos. What did he say? Right? Did he say Zachar? Did he say Shamar? Zeu Kedushas Yichud Hashem. Mazeh. What is Shmir Shabbos? Tahanu Derech Shmiras HaShabbos, which means it was given in a way where the greatest yichud of Hashem, the greatest oneness of Hashem was given. Something which no human could ever do is to say two things at once, besides everything else going on the Ten Commandments. And that was to keep the Shabbos itself. It's that oneness which Shabbos illustrates and manifests through the giving. And when we call Shabbos the bride, Kala, right? L'chodadi l'kras Kala, you sing Kabbalah Shabbos, and you call Shabbos the bride, it's Yesh Mefarshim, we say Bowie Kala. This is this. Who are we saying Bowie Kala to? Who's Bowie Kala, right? When we say Friday, we're welcoming the bride. Who is the bride? So it's based on B'kama, of course. So some say the bride of Shabbos is the bride. And some say, who are we welcoming on Shabbos? The Shechinah Hashem himself. Some say it's Shabbos, and some say it's Hashem. And which is it? And the answer is, it's the mirror. Is it the mirror you see, or is it the bride, the person you see? And you're seeing both. Because, of course, Shabbos gets all its sustenance from Hashem. So we say Bo'i Kala, it's really both. The Chena Torah, now just finishes up. That's the essence of the coupling of Shabbos, which is the perfect coupling, which is you can see Shabbos and Hashem together, and we're the recipients of that, of course, of Shabbos. The one other thing which you mentioned previously, which is the study of Torah. Because Torah is also called, so to speak, a bride. When a person learns Gemara, Chumash, Tanakh, we're learning about Shabbos and Musar, right? You were connecting, we're learning Torah Kadesha. It's a Kala, Shalom Torah, a person who studies Torah, is connecting to Hashem, is clinging to Hashem. Bipnei, Shehura Tanah Yachad, when a person connects to Torah, they're connecting to Hashem's divine will in this world. And Hashem, so to speak, Kaviyachol, is His divine will. What Hashem wants us to do, Kmo Sheherech, it says in Nefesh HaChaim, of course, Chaim Volozhin, the greatest disciple of Vilnagoyin, in his classic work Nefesh HaChaim, that the Torah is compared to a mare, which reveals Hashem. Right? We're reading the word of Hashem, Kaviyachol, so to speak. Therefore, Torah is called an Eishes Chayil. Friday Eishes Chayil, this woman of valor. V'edim Metzias Am Yisrael, in the essence of the Jewish people, is also called a kala, a bride, for the same reason. As it says in the Medrash, an Arab once said, going back, remember we said this before, that when a Jew bought this Arab's donkey and returned the jewel, what did he say? He didn't say thank you to this Jew who returned the jewel. He said, blessed is the God of this Jew, because he saw the reason this Jew is inspired, to return a fortune to this Arab is only because he had a connection to Hashem, a connection to God. And by the way, I'm sure you and I, the other day, I encountered like the rudest, sickest individual on the road in Chicago, I would have liked to hold my hand on the horn and just like follow him for like 15 minutes, because that's what he's doing to people around him. But why would I not do that? Besides that, he could pull a gun on me, but it's a side point. But we're representatives of Hashem, and what inspires us? Hashem. I heard a terrible story recently. A person did a very sick thing. Why would we never do that? Because of Hashem. If we're doing what we're supposed to, we're reflecting Hashem in this world. So Shimon Meshechtach does this amazing thing. Shimon Meshechtach is one of the heads of the Sanhedrin. And this Arab doesn't thank him. He thanks the God of Shimon ben Shetach. And that's the essence of Torah study. It's we're infused and inspired to do the things we do, hopefully, Be'ez Hashem, because we're inspired by the words of Torah. Amri Kod Shabrich Lazarus says that Hashem, the Jewish people, the Araisa, and the Torah are all one. It's also a very nice song, right? Song Kod Shabrich Araisa Chavu, I'll spare you from my singing. Hayu Me'achdim Kol Kach. It's so connected, so one, such a mirror, that Yisrael Be'Araisa Raimus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you see Hashem. when a Jew learns Torah properly, they're seeing Hashem in this world, they're bringing Hashem into this world. And it's one. Ve'gam HaShabbos, Misyach, and Shabbos also is connected. Because we know, Shnikra Shmo, Shalkash Baruch, when it leaves Israel, Davka V'Logoritzas, Hashem gives it, and he gives it specific to Jewish people. A Gentile cannot keep Shabbos, and the only two things a Gentile cannot do is Torah study for the sake of Torah, if not converting, or Shabbos. That's the only two things they can't do. If a guy wants to shake a little bit, they could do that technically. If they wanted to do kosher, they could keep kosher. But Shabbos and Torah, they can't. We discussed that previously. That's specifically, v'lo nitnu Shabbos la'asuk b'hem Torah, and the essence of Shabbos is not to play Monopoly, right? Not to read the newspaper. It's not to, you know, there's nothing wrong with going on a walk. I walk on most Shabbos, it's very healthy as well. That's not the essence of Shabbos. It's not given for that. Shabbos, the point of Shabbos is to connect spiritually, and the highest level of spiritual connection, of course, is Torah study. In Maya Shabbos, Kapi Shloshtim, Shabbos is this reflection. If we're keeping Shabbos correctly, this coupling, the Zachar V'Shamar, we see Hashem's role, we're constantly on the receiving end, and we recognize Hashem, that a Yid who keeps Shabbos is connected to Hashem, recognizes to Hashem. There's no money in the bank waiting, oh, maybe I made the money and I'm the giver. No. We're always the receiver. We think we're keeping Shabbos. We're doing is receiving for Hashem. It allows us to bring Hashem into our lives and to constantly receive that. We think, oh, I'm spending so much money. For some people, they have the challenge of keeping Shabbos with their job. You are the biggest recipient, and you can see Hashem on the most profound world. Just like with Torah study as well, we can makir him, both through Torah and through Shabbos, what the true essence of a Jew is, what the true purpose of this world is. Next time, we'll actually pick up and elaborate a little bit more on this, Zachar V'Shamar, and then actually we're finished with the main part of this work, and when he goes to, at the end over here, the 13 principles of faith, of Yigam Laker, of faith, followed by a wrap of Siyam. So hold here. Wishing everybody a very good Shabbos. Holy Shabbos with the Mar.